off of me, and it was not fun. But ever since that day, I've gotten stung by so many bees, it doesn't feel like anything, but still, it hurts.
Yeah. No, there was a time where we were just swimming, and we had one of those little body boards or whatever.
Oh.
And
there was a beehive in it, wasn't there?
No, it wasn't a beehive on it. A wasp landed on it the moment I went to jump in the water, and it landed on top of the wasp. It had a freaking sting right in the middle of my chest.
That's awesomely terrible. That's awesome.
Well, the better part, too, is it's like it was also one of those lucky things that I got stung, because the three other guys I was with all were allergic to bees.
That's awesome.
So it's like a really good thing that like I got stung, but
it's still on the
besides
same time.
Them, but I got stung.
That's awesome.
Whatever.
Well, luck has its really weird ways of irony.
Whatever. It's October 14th, Friday. It's Max.
I'm Nick.
And there's no Bob this week because he's got a prior. What do you call it?
Engagement.
That's the word. Engagement. So, any news about magic?
Honestly, no. I,
been stuck in there all day?
Yeah, I've been stuck in a hellhole. Excuse my French. Latin.
I mean, I don't really consider a hellhole a bad word.
Some people might, just wanted to make sure.
Trust me, the people listening to our podcast right now know how explicit we can be. So, we started ending our after hours.
Oh, yeah, I remember after hours. Yeah.
We started just adding it right at the end, just do a quick note, like, hey, it's our after hours.
Yeah.
When you were going through Kaladesh that one time on my phone, did you happen to catch the card called Smuggler's Copter?
Maybe. I don't exactly. What does it do, remember? Do you remember?
It's one of the vehicles.
Oh.
It's breaking the format right now.
What does it do?
It's a 2-mana vehicle that crews for 1,
mm-hmm.
and is a 3/3 flyer.
Okay.
In addition, every time it attacks or blocks,
yeah,
you get to draw and discard a card.
Oh, gosh. Is that with, like, the Madness scheme, or just...
No, I mean, yeah, you can use Madness tricks with it. You can use... Because, like, there's, what, the Fiery Temper card or whatever, that when you... It madnesses for 1, for 5 damage.
Oh, wow.
No, that's Lava X. Never mind. But either way.
Lava X. Huh.
There's a lot of good burn spells at Madness for 1.
Oh my
so
god.
So then you're able to play Smuggler's Copter very easy with that. Actually, it's just being played within the red-white Road Rage deck.
Wow.
So that's the thing. Is they used Drapina. Vehicles get +1/+1,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
I think that's what she does. They use her in Smuggler's Copter to basically win the game.
Yeah, I would expect that would be pretty good win.
I mean, we've only had one event go on since the Kaladesh standard started up.
Yeah.
Because, of course, everything changed.
Well, yeah.
A lot of people are expecting it, too. The standard's going to be a big change.
Yeah. Especially with all the new mechanics going on.
Yeah. Well, I'm one major thing I'm glad about is the loss of Coco.
Coco?
Coco Show? No, not Coco Show, but Collector Company.
Oh. Yeah. That was a very, very good card.
Yeah. It was... Well, again, it became Bank Coco, Bank Coco, Bank Coco, Bank Coco. In, like, the top 8s of every game,
yeah.
GP. And people get mad because Miracles is in Legacy all the fucking time.
Yeah. Like, as in, like, that's what? The one that puts everything... Terminus, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, Miracles works off of basically countertop strategy.
Oh, yeah. Well,
and then...
Death Sense, Base Commanding Top.
Yeah, and then using Terminus to...
Yeah. Just...
clear out the board.
Just... Nope.
That's the funny thing, is that there's only 2 Miracles cards in the deck, and it's only a total of 6 cards that have Miracles. But it's called Miracles. I always find that funny. It's not called countertop or whatever.
Countertop Miracles?
Well,
I think it's
called Miracles just from the fact that it uses Terminus and Entreat the Angels.
Yeah.
And uses their,
Miracles.
Yeah.
Cost. Yeah.
But then you get the weird, you got people, like, you got the Legends build, which uses, Vanillion Clicks and Venters.
Mm-hmm.
Then you got, the Mentor Miracles, which just uses Mentor.
Yeah.
But it's called Miracles for... I always, it's just one of those weird ones. I mean, there was a deck back... there's a deck called Standstill. And it was... It's just High Tide. But in why it was called Standstill, or it was called Standalone, I don't know. I think it's called Standstill. But it was called that because of the card. There was a white card in the sideboard that they couldn't even play.
Why?
And it was named that card. Just because High Tide didn't need it.
Then why did they have a white card in the...
Because they didn't need that slot. It was just a funny little slot they didn't need, so they started calling it that.
That's awesome.
So they just put... Well, High Tide is that card that makes whatever you tap blue,
yeah,
it doubles it.
Yeah, and then you use kind of a lot of Rose to untap them.
Yeah.
That's a deck that kind of got disappeared once. I think the main thing people are saying is that the chalices.
Yeah.
Coming in the Legacy.
Yeah.
And how strong of a showing that is.
Oh yeah.
But. So you haven't even looked at any Magic at all?
I really can't. I don't have any internet. Yeah. Otherwise, I would.
That's fair.
We did go to the library today, but I had to get some... I did do some job searching. That's kind of off topic.
Yeah. Are you going to try out UEI?
What?
Are you going to try out UEI?
Honestly, I talked to my parents about it, and...
What?
We're still on.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I talked to my parents about it, and they said that they wanted me to talk to you about seeing if there was a way I could get, like, a job or through you, like, seeing if, like, you could talk to them for me.
I mean, literally, you just need to walk in and be like, hi, Max recommended me here, and you're done.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
And they'll send you where you need to go. Like, I can't get you hired on, I can't be like, oh, this guy, my friend here... would like to be hired on, you need to go in and fill out the forms to get hired on.
Well, yeah, but then, like, my parents were like, could I shadow you at any point in time?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, they don't do shadowing in their place.
Oh, yeah, that's what I figured, because it's kind of busy, probably.
Well, it's that and or they also don't want us just sitting there talking to people.
Well, yeah.
Because that's kind of what shadowing becomes, is just BSing about the day and some other funny story that had happened.
Well, no, it's just... Honestly, I wouldn't be doing that. I'd be learning. But I know that
I mean,
you
that's... The thing is, you'll get hired on instantly. You don't need to figure out what the hell you're doing. You don't need to shadow me.
Oh.
You don't need to shadow me to figure out what you need to do. They'll train you.
Yeah. But, and then, I don't even know where it is exactly.
Like, I mean, that's, like, a little bit... That's not, like, too hard to explain. Like, okay. Literally, it's just up the road from where you are right now.
Oh.
It really kind of is.
Ah.
It only, it takes me 15 minutes to get to you from work.
Oh, cool.
So, like, it's only 15 minutes away from there.
Well, I kind of figured since it took you from 2 o'clock, it was like 2:15 when you got there.
Yeah. I clock out at 2 o'clock and we get there at 2:15, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not a very long drive from where you're at the moment.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Right, as of right now, in Standard, it's all aggro decks.
Yeah.
But, as people are explaining, and the combo decks are starting to come, the combo control decks are starting to come out.
Yeah.
And, guess what type of deck is getting test builds?
Bug in the Ice?
No, not Bug in the Ice. We're talking about Standard.
Standard, test build. Would it be Ramp?
No. Ramp is already kind of a thing, and they're kind of trying to keep that going. It just is more like it's called T-Merge. Teamer emerge.
Oh.
So you ramp up into your creatures using the emerge triggers.
Oh, cool. Emerge.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Well, it's teamer, so, like, color. It's
cause,
teamer.
Because it's my Maelstrom Wanderer deck that I play.
It's teamer, but it plays as emerge.
Oh.
It's the old ramp deck with Atarkas and Wulmogs kind of switched and all that.
Packs, are they?
They have Kalidus packs.
But I'm guessing you wouldn't recommend me getting those, would you?
No. Never buy individual packs. You are just losing money.
Yeah.
It's like playing the lottery.
Yeah.
But, no, going back to guessing what Karen control deck is being built. You remember the deck I built up for you? Metallurgic Summonings?
Yeah, yeah. That one? That's awesome.
People are test building that thing.
That's awesome.
For the people that are listening, Metallurgic Summonings is new from Kaladesh. Whenever you cast an instant or sorcery spell, whenever you cast a spell, you put a XX creature out in the battlefield. It's Servo, I think colorless Servo artifact. No, it's Colorless Construct XX.
Yeah.
Equal to the CMC of the card. The CMC of Metallurgic Summonings is 3 and 2 blue. But, so that's kind of expensive, especially when we got all these aggro decks coming around that can kill you on turn 4. But when you can play a deck that has, you can just play Calling Hermoculus, which I already put in the deck.
Yeah.
Makes your, when he flips, he's a random dude that flips from Shadow of the Runestride. I'm actually going to have Nick pull up the phone so he can see his own deck.
So, Curious Hermoculus is 1 and a blue. It is a 1/1 that flips into a 3/4. First of all, it's add a colorless to your mana pool. Spend this mana to cast only instant or sorcery spell. At the beginning of your upkeep, if there are 3 or more instant or sorcery spells in your graveyard, transform it. And then on the other side, it has prowess, and instant and sorcery spells you cast cost 1 less to cast.
So, you're able to play that guy, because he costs 2 mana, just like Smuggler's Copter?
Yeah.
So, I mean, Smuggler's Copter flies over this guy, I just remembered, so I kind of hate that part. But you're able to play this guy so he can trade back and forth with their Smuggler's Copter. You also have how many kill spells? just count how many kill spells you got in there.
So Collective Brutality is, well, altogether isn't 4 or 1.
It's like, this is how many you have.
All of these are kill spells?
Well, just
okay.
Not all of them. Some of them are cantrips. And
okay, so Collective Brutality.
Click on it. See if it is.
No. So there's Die Young.
Yeah.
Grasp of Darkness. Horribly Awry.
That's a counter spell.
Oh, wait, sorry, that's a counter spell. And that's not one. Murder.
Yep, Murder's in the deck.
That is also a very good one. And
my bad.
Oh gosh.
You're fine. So how many was that?
That was like 4.
Yeah. Four kill spells. All of them which besides Collective Brutality could kill Smuggler's Copter.
Yeah.
But Collective Brutality is able to be used as the remove sorcery or whatever. The nice thing is when you cast all these kill spells with Metallurgic Summonings is you get a creature equal to the power, well, equal to the CMC. So you go Grasp of Darkness, kill your Smuggler's Copter, you can then put in a 2/2.
Oh yeah.
To block the little 1/1 that was left over to for his Smuggler's Copter.
Oh yeah.
So every time you play a spell, like you have your cantrips, you have Anticipate and
Live Fast, Die Young.
Yeah, you have Live Fast and Anticipate for
Contingency Plan.
Contingency Plan for the draw spell? I thought it was a counter spell.
Oh, yeah, it is, maybe. Give me a second.
That's definitely a counter spell, I think.
Oh, no, it's a scry.
Oh.
Kind of scry.
Oh, that's a look at top 5?
Yeah.
That's from Kaladesh, isn't it?
No, it's from Eldritch Moon.
Oh, okay. But, so with all these spells you're playing with all these cantrips, you just slowly pump out dudes while doing cantrips.
Yeah.
So you just anticipate, I get a 2/2. Grasp of Darkness, I get a 2/2. Murder, I get a 3/3.
Oh yeah. Sounds like fun.
So you're able to just play pure control and just make dudes.
Pure control with the side of aggro.
Yep. And now Jermogan's Command's out of standard, which Jermogan's Command was a do one of three things.
Yeah.
Yeah, one of those three things being destroy target enchantment.
Ah.
So now there's not many cards that... There's only, like, the one in green that's actually playable to destroy an enchantment.
Oh, yeah.
Which you can then have counterspells for.
Oh, yeah.
And as well, they come up with the card called Lost Legacy, which you just remove their enchantment destruction spell from their deck.
Oh, yeah.
So, that's your deck.
Come on, Jeff.
Yeah, you want to hit the button on the side to lock the phone.
Yep.
But, nope. And then I built up my Blackbird standard. It's already built right now, so we'll proxy it up and all that.
Okay.
We'll proxy it up, trying out some games. I don't know. What else is new? I don't know about anything in the events. I'm actually going while we're in Walmart. I'll text Bob and see if I can borrow Shardless and Miracles. So you can get Shardless and Miracles play versus Bug in the Ice. Don't worry, I'm the one that's going to be playing Shardless and Miracles, which is not... They're not easy decks to pilot.
Ah.
They're not the easiest of decks to pilot. They are really tricky. Like, Shardless is a card advantage type deck. Yeah. Cascades and all that other stuff.
Cascades? And,
well, yeah, Cascade.
I know what Cascade is. I'm just saying, I think it's Shardless Agent. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
Okay.
And... Miracles is a countertop deck, which you have to be able to control where your draws go and what to line up.
Yeah.
They're both really tricky decks to figure out.
Yeah.
Because Miracles is a grindy control where you sit most of the time controlling your opponent.
Yeah.
Which is hard to do for a lengthy period of time.
Oh, yeah. And then I kind of, I built up a new commander, but it's not terribly good.
Whatever. We'll check. We'll probably play some commanders tonight too.
Probably. And then.
Bugging this may have some trouble against Shardless because you use the same mana base.
Yeah.
But I don't know about Miracles. I actually don't know. That's a weird one. Miracles plays enough basic lands that they can't get killed out by your Wastelock from Life and Loam Wastelock.
Yeah.
But
I didn't see
you also do play Goyfs. So I don't know. Well, that's one of those I don't know yet. But, No, and then another thing we can try with your Bugging Ice, since now you're getting a little bit more skilled with the deck, is, the punishing Bugging the Ice.
Oh, with the sideboard?
No. Well, one, we gotta do some sideboard games with you. You haven't really done much sideboard games. But, punishing Bugging the Ice. Do you remember the card called Punishing Fire?
Oh, yeah.
Do you know why that card's broken in Legacy?
No.
Have you heard of the card called Grove of the Burning Isles?
No.
Alright.
Actually, Punishing Fire, is that from a Conspiracy?
I don't know where it's exactly from off the top of my head, but it is a 2-mana, deal 2 damage.
Oh, yeah.
While it's in your grave, if your opponent is to gain life, you may pay a red and bring it back to your hand.
But, Bugging Nest doesn't have red.
It will after we make it up, because you already have Mox Diamonds.
Oh, yeah.
You have your Mox Diamonds, and you have enough fetches to go fetch for Taiga's.
Yeah.
Or whatever red source we actually decide to put in that thing.
Yeah.
You also have a card called Grove of the Burning Willows.
Is that not sideboard already?
No, Grove of the Burning Willows is not sideboard, neither is Punishing Fire yet. Well, I just built up a basic bug sideboard for you.
Oh.
Which is Sylvan Libraries and Pithy Needles and, Sprex for Evoker since.
And the one with the Spinal Extraction or whatever.
Surgical Extraction.
Surgical Extraction.
Yeah, it was just a quick bug sideboard.
Ah.
But before we go, Grove of the Burn Willows is a land. You may tap it for a colorless and or you can make your opponent gain 1 life and add a green or red to your mana pool. Did you figure out why those two cards work very well together?
Because he would lose. Oh my gosh, yes.
So you go tap for a red. You gain a life. Oh, Punching Fire trigger. I'll pay my red to bring my Punching Fire back to my hand.
Good Lord.
So it's another engine, just like Life from Loan for
Thing. Oh, wow. Wow.
And it'll get you more eccentric on being able to beat Chalice.
Oh, wow. Because it's from the graveyard. It's just not really casting.
Well, you're still casting, but Punching Fire costs 2 mana.
Oh, yeah.
And Chalice is only hurt. Usually people only put it on 1.
Oh, wow.
Whatever. Pause on the podcast real quick. We're going inside the show.
Talk about aggressive bug in the ice or something like that.
Oh, punishing bug in the ice.
Mm-hmm.
So no, then you're with that. You're able to add in. Punishing fires and grow over the burn wills, and that's really all actually that's going to change.
Hmm.
Is you just add punishing and burn wills. You don't need any red spells, and because
chrome boxes and stuff.
Yeah. You already have Chrome Moxes.
Ah.
Well, no, you don't have Chrome Moxes, you have Mox Diamonds.
Well, yeah.
So the only downside is the only things I'll be able to produce you red or Mox Diamonds in Groves. But at a certain point...
It's not really that bad thing.
Yeah, it's not a bad thing. Especially, too, if you Wastelock someone, that's how you can kill them. Without the fact of just having bug in the ice.
And then if you can't get them to get rid of your mount of grubs, you can always wasteland your own land.
I mean, that's a fair point. I don't know why you would do that.
I don't know either, but still.
I mean, and we could put in one or two fetchable reds.
Well, yeah. Driving is terrifying.
You are the passenger in this situation.
Exactly why it's so terrifying.
Yes, people, I am the one that's driving, and we've got over on how well I do that.
It's debatable to see if Pinkerby has his eyes open or half the time, or if he's asleep with his eyes open.
It is debatable.
Sorry for the random silences. We're kind of having dinner.
Oh, it's all going to be cut out. It's going to be cut up and jeered.
Ah.
It's going to be a little bit choppy for him.
Ah.
The part I'm going to feel bad for is the hearing the wind.
Oh, yeah, what happened?
Oh, that random squealing went away.
Yeah, but it's replaced by this.
Oh, yeah, wait. Well, it's because the weather strip or whatever they got up right here. It's lifted up a little bit, so it catches the air and it's a little bit more. Then in 2, we can try and see if you can play with Jaces or not. Because the deck can run Jace pretty well as an alternate win con, but... Jace is a skill level card. A bunch of Aaron decks me like, hey, you going down to the extreme?
I would laugh so hard.
Well, he's been able to come the last 2 times.
Times I wasn't gone?
Yeah. Times you were here, he was able to come along.
And then now that you're gone, he's going to be like, fuck.
I mean, it's such a part that we're not picking up Bob. Oh, guess what I forgot to do?
What?
Text Bob and see if I can borrow Charlotte some miracles.
Nice. It's a little late for that now, though.
Yes, it is. So now, while we were in the store, I brought up the idea of Metallurgic Summonings and Legacy, and then, so me and Nick, we kind of spat it back and forth on how possible it could be. I mean, it's a 5-mana enchantment, so it's actually not good. The card is horrible. But, the ability to go, how about a Metallurgic Summonings, you can go... you're taxing probe. Force, pitching, blue card, and counter attacking probe. You pay no mana, and now you have a 1/1 and a 5/5.
Definitely.
Now, of course, they're completely killable by abrupt decay, dismember. Excuse me. Well, they can be killed by abrupt decay, dismember, punching fires if they're not as big as fives. And then, of course, we have the obvious Terminus or any board wipe spell that can kill them. But the other side to it, though, is it gets around countermelon and Callus.
Yeah.
Because when you cast a spell, you get the creature.
Not when it hits the field.
Well, you just get the creature from casting the spell. You don't actually...
So I said not when it hits the field.
Yeah. Well, because you're not casting the creature, so it can't be countered. Well, whether or not it's countered or not is a different story.
Yeah.
So, no, you're able to play, like... I mean, you could play... Mox, Crow Moxes and Mox Diamonds.
Well, yeah.
You can play Mox Opal.
What's that?
Mox Opal is another artifact for zero mana that can tap for any color. The downside is you need Metalcraft on. You know what Metalcraft is?
Oh, three artifacts?
You need three artifacts.
Yeah.
Well, if you're playing Petals and all this other crap to rush out Metallurgic Summonings, Metallurgic Summonings makes artifact creatures.
Oh.
So you're able to have your Metalcraft for your Opals.
Well, yeah.
I mean, you're going to be making a bunch of 1-1s because a lot of spells in Legacy are 1. Effective spells, but... You can play all the Shoals, too. Where you discard cards and to pay their mana cost.
Well, yeah.
You can play Shardless or something, too. Cast off spells.
I'll cast Force of Will. Cascade.
Well, yeah, you literally just pitch Force of Will and you get a fucking 5-5.
And then you get the Cascade if you have a Shardless agent out.
No.
Well,
no.
Don't you?
Cascade.
Oh, it's only creatures. Yeah.
No, Cascade works in the factor of...
Oh, when it enters.
When you cast...
Yeah.
No, it's when you cast it.
Yeah, whenever you Shardless agent then. Is there any instant or sorcery spells with Cascade?
I think there might be one that's 4 mana.
I know that there's an instant. Not instant, an enchantment. Isn't there, like, something? 7 or 8 mana enchantment. Something?
I don't know.
A Maelstrom Nexus.
Oh. Well. If that didn't have Cascade, we'd have an issue.
Yeah. All I know...
No, but the big thing that makes Cascade a big value point is it's when you cast the card.
Yeah.
So both cards are on the stack before your opponent even goes to counter them.
Yeah.
Or react to the first one.
Yeah.
So your opponent is needed to counter two spells rather than just normal one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I wonder how good that would be in my Maelstrom Wanderer deck.
Metalurgic Summonings?
Yeah.
You play too many creatures.
But when I do play instants and sorcerers, they're normally just to win the game.
Yeah. This side, you play too many creatures and you...
Yeah. But I do play a lot of instants and sorceries to get lands, though.
It's not even worth it there. Because in EDH, you have a bunch... Everyone's got a board wipe, and everyone will play that board wipe. And if you end up getting any board state, people just kill you.
Yeah.
I mean, it would be nice for, like, easy blockers or whatever, but they don't have flying.
Ah. If they had flying, that would be a whole other story.
Somewhat. I mean, there's definitely ways you can get flying.
Well, yeah, just enchantments, instant sorceries, enchantments, auras, equipment, other creatures.
But no, the big thing that gets... Shardless as a good deck is all the card advantage spells. So you never played against Shardless before, I bet.
No.
Never heard of a deck called card Shardless either.
I've heard of a deck called Shardless, I just don't know what it does. I know the card Shardless Agent.
Well,
but that's what I want for my
deck.
That's
why it's called Shardless, is because of Shardless Agent Cascade.
Yeah.
It plays Strixes, Baleful Strix.
Yeah.
Deathrite Shaman.
Yeah.
But you know the card. You play the card.
Yeah, I know Baleful Strix. Baleful Strix too.
And then it's other creatures, Termagoyf.
Oh.
Where do you think most of your Bugging Ice list was built from?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm guessing instead of Shroudless Agent, I have a Bug in the Ice.
Well, the deck's built a little bit weirder because of the fact you do have Thing in the Ice. Because Thing in the Ice is a horror and it flips all non-horrors. Well, so your deck is semi-built around the factor of either card can win the game by itself, or it's a horror in addition to its other types.
Yeah.
But, That's the creature base for Shardless. Beyond, I think they may play one or two clicks. Depends upon the player.
Clicks?
Vanillion Click.
Oh.
You know what that does?
Is that the one that, with the huge mana stuff, or...?
No. That's the one double blue.
Yeah.
When this enters the battlefield, look at target player's hand. You may choose one of those cards and send it to the bottom of their library.
Oh.
If you do, they draw a card.
Okay.
So basically, what most people end up usually doing with clicks is
looking at their own.
No, they click. You go untap, upkeep, draw, and at the end of your draw phase or beginning of main phase. No, it's actually at the end of draw after you draw your card. They play click because they have splash.
Okay.
Oh, it's also a 3-1 for 3-1 flyer for the people that actually want to know that part.
Yeah.
But they'll click you at your main phase, so then they remove your best spell in your hand if you have the best spell in your hand. If not, they just go, oh, okay. They just see your hand and then you don't put any card on the bottom, you don't draw any cards.
Ah.
Oh my god, there's a grandma in front of us.
Yeah.
And this is why we take the other way.
Yeah.
Because this is a straight line with very, very low areas of pit to pass people. I already know the person behind me wants to pass this person.
Her blinker's on.
Oh my god, finally.
Donald's head.
So no, on first spells, Shardless plays no counter spells except for Forceful. There's a big reason for that. Do you know why?
Flash and Shardless? And so go for Forceful, right? Shardless is Flash, right?
No, Shardless is one green-blue.
Oh, yeah.
Artifact creature, 2/2. When it enters, you cascade.
Yeah.
You cascade for a 3-mana spell, less than 3-mana spell.
Okay. Then I really don't know why.
Do you know why you don't play dazes or counterspells?
Oh, because the other person might have a chalice?
No, dazes 2 mana and counterspells 2 mana.
Oh, why?
Because you don't want to cascade into him.
Oh. Yeah.
What is he going to tell you when you're in your Maelstrom Wanderer not to play so many counterspells? Because you don't want to cascade into him.
Yeah.
You can't cascade into a 5-mana spell off of Shardless.
Ah.
But, so what kind of makes Shardless one of the big card advantage decks is the card called Ancestral Visions?
Yeah, is that the one, it's not from Dragons, is it? Oh, no. I'm thinking of Ancestral.
Recall?
Yeah.
No. It is a 0-mana draw 3. The catch is you have to suspend it for 4 turns.
Ah.
But... take a second to figure out why you don't need to suspend it for 4 turns with Shardless.
Because it's casted without paying its mana cost. Right?
Come on. Actual rules text to say why you can be cast without paying its mana cost.
Because it's on the... What?
Why can Shardless make Essential Visions be cast without suspend?
Because it has... Isn't it without... Because it's not from your hand. Right?
No. When you cast Ancestral Visions, you suspend it for 1 blue.
Oh.
You can't actually cast Ancestral Visions from your hand without suspending it.
Oh.
Because then you don't have to pay its mana cost. That's what I said. You don't have to pay anything, any extra cost, don't you? Without paying any of its costs.
Well, yeah, when you cast Speedy, you pay without its cost, which is, its cost is zero. Oh. You cast any spell less CMC.
Okay.
CMC zero. And you can cast Ancestral Vision through Shardless.
Then how do you... I feel like I'm on the right track, aren't I?
Yeah, you're on the... You, no, you were right. I was just trying to get you to say the actual rules text.
Because you have to...
Because in Legacy, you need to know the rules text, so then you can...
I don't know exactly about... I don't know exactly what Ancestral Visions... Exactly what the rule text on... What the text is on that.
The card is zero mana, instant spell... Oh, sorry. I think it might be sorcery. Just, no, it's instant. Yeah. Either way. Zero mana spell, suspend for one blue for four turns.
Yeah.
When you cast it, you draw three cards.
Because you're just casting it.
You're just casting it with Shardless.
Yeah.
Because Cascade Trigger.
Yeah, because it says you may cast it without paying its mana cost.
Yep. Well, it's not without paying its mana cost.
Without paying its cost.
No, you just cast the card.
Yeah. Well, no, it does say without paying its mana
really
cost.
Really does?
Yeah.
Everyone, Nick is the smarter one, not me.
Trust me, I play Maelstrom. I should know this.
But, so no, that's how that works.
Yeah.
So apparently I just misinterpreted what you were trying to say.
Yeah.
Then you play Brainstorms. I don't know if the deck plays any Ponders. I don't know if it's like 1 to 3 or whatever.
Ah.
The deck plays Thoughtseize and Hymns.
Hymns of,
Hymn to Turok.
What's that one?
Double black is... No. Sorcery. Yeah, double black sorcery. Target player discards two cards at random.
Oh. Yeah. Isn't there, like, Liliana's, something that does the exact same thing?
Liliana the Veil?
Well, no, I mean, like... Well, no, she's not a planeswalker. It's just a sorcery or something. That does basically the same thing.
Hymn to Turok is the only two mana discard two at random.
Oh, yeah. Liliana the Veil does it, right? Doesn't it?
Liliana the Veil is a plus one each player discards a card.
Oh, yeah.
So. Nope, the deck does not play Click because it doesn't run Crocus.
Ah.
I just realized that, people. I'm trying to remember the deck list off the top of my head. But when Bob listens to this, he can sit there screaming, "You freaking idiot!"
Well, yeah, it's not really. It's not like none of us have the greatest memory in the world. Don't really blame you.
I mean, some decks you're able just to remember.
Well, yeah.
I've also been playing Legacy for a year, so a lot of the big decks like Shardless, Miracles.
Yeah.
I kind of know most of the lists because of what I play as Painter. So I need to know what the hell to counter and how to freaking win the game.
Yeah.
No, I can tell you right now, Tez is very hard to play against Shardless. Because Shardless just straight up has a lot more advantage over Tez.
On what turn can Shardless win? Like, what turn is like normal win? Sorry. So like 3 or 4?
No.
A lot later.
Shardless is not a fast deck. It's more of a mid range, I would say.
So like 7 or 8.
5 to 8 is when it's really decided for Shardless.
Okay.
I mean, the deck does play Goyfs, so. An unmatched Goyf can be easily can win the game in a couple turns, but It's still slower than most combo decks. It's strong against most combo decks because it's of all the cards it plays. Because it has Decays, it has Force of Will. It has like all these cards that just are able to out advantage combo decks, so. I mean, I have a hard time with Painter trying to beat Shardless.
Ah.
it's the same reason why why Bugganax is so good against Painter.
Because it has higher mana cost.
Nope.
Painter is the one that, well, because it can shut things down pretty quickly.
Painter is a prison deck.
Yeah.
That's the one, although that's the deck I actually have complete.
Yeah.
That you played against last time we played.
Yeah.
That one's, it uses Blood Moons and Incendiary Bridges and Trinispheres to lock out the game.
Yeah.
Battle Ball kind of areas. But, why the big thing is, one, forces, and number two, Abrupt Decay. It's played in main board. It kind of sucks.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, sideboard gets a lot more annoying when Shardless is able to play Null Rod.
What's that?
Null Rod is a 2-mana artifact.
Mm-hmm.
Artifacts cannot be activated.
Oh, gosh.
Do you know why Painter dies to that card?
Yeah?
Why?
Because when it says when it enters the battlefield, choose a color. And that is an activated ability.
No, that's a trigger.
Really?
Come on, you know this one.
There's another part of Painter, isn't there?
Yep.
Choose a color. Colors.
Just because I named everything one color, how do
I
kill
wait.
You?
Oh, the blue. Oh, grindstone.
There you go. Guess what needs to be activated?
Grindstone.
Guess what else needs to be activated in my sideboard?
Blood Moon? No.
Nope.
But, wait, in your sideboard, I haven't played
I have an alternate win con in my sideboard.
I haven't seen your sideboard yet.
Really? I haven't played sideboard Painter versus yet?
No.
All right. Well, in my Painter sideboard, I use Helm Combo. Helm of Obedience. 4 mana.
Mm-hmm.
Artifact.
Mm-hmm.
Play X and tap. That's why Null Rod kind of kills the card. But...
And then it mills, does the same thing as Grindstone?
Nope. Not really.
Oh.
Helvian states, target player puts the top X cards of his or her library into his or her graveyard. Oh, no. Sorry. Target player puts the top card of his or her library in his or her graveyard, and repeats the step until X cards are in the graveyard, or if a creature is revealed. If a creature is revealed, sacrifice Helm of Obedience, and Helm of Obedience controller gains control of the creature.
Oh. Wow.
Why the card is a combo card is not only the fact that you could accidentally steal your opponent's creatures, which I've done multiple times.
Yeah.
Just for something to actually get the game going. The other thing that works with it are cards called Layla in the Void and Rest of the Beast.
Oh, yeah. I know. They put everything into exile instead of straight into the graveyard.
Yeah. So you keep going and done.
This. No, it's more like.
No, it's just. It's like a slide. Just slides right into exile.
Yeah.
That's how I always image it, just sliding right into the exile. Not
well, I think it's like...
Bouncing out of the grave.
Well, yeah, because it never actually touches the graveyard.
Never touches the graveyard, yeah.
Sweet. I guess that is a better analogy.
Yeah. Just misses the graveyard entirely. Go on.
I'm going to make it. Nah. Guys, I'm going to the Great Beyond! Oh, wait, nope.
The Great Beyond, apparently! So, I use Rest in Peace since I play a red-white Painter list.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, my Painter list is weird because I don't have any Imperials or Cities. But, it's all good. I gotta still figure out how the frick to beat your deck, though, with Painter.
Ah. You've beaten it a couple times.
Not with Painter.
Really?
Yep. I've not won a game yet with Painter.
I thought you have.
Nope.
At least once.
Nope.
Oh.
I've not won a game yet with Painter versus Bugganax.
Ah.
I mean, frick, you also did the one thing that a lot of people mix up on.
Which is?
Forceful.
Oh.
When I'm playing Painter, I, of course, name everything blue.
Yeah.
Because now everything in my hand is blue, so I can force wield.
Yeah. Which you picked up on is so freaking quick. Usually people miss that.
Yeah.
I can pitch my land to force wield? Yeah, you can.
I can pick a I can pitch a mountain to force wield? Yeah, it's Blue Mountain.
Yeah, it's Blue Mountain, you can do that. Really?
I can
pitch you had no issue with that. And which was even got me, which even stunned me too. Again, when I went, I think it was like one of the times I went Pyro Blast your Force, he went Force Pitch Toxic Delusion. I'm like, huh? Oh, that's right. Oh. Kind of sucks not having Mystifex either, because since you do have Decays.
Yeah. Well, who does have Mystifex? Which one of your decks does have Mystifex?
Tens.
Oh, yeah.
I played three Mystifex.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
So, no, we'll have to try out your punishing bug in the ice.
Yeah.
I was thinking of actually just calling it Fire Beetle. Because it's a beetle. I mean, it's bug in the ice.
Oh,
But Fire Beetle.
Well, you have to add...
Oh! Thing of Fire and Ice.
That's actually pretty cool. But I think, like, I was about to say, you have to have the ice element in there, too. That's what I was about to say.
Well, because it's... Yeah, Thing of Fire and Ice.
Thing of Icy Fire.
There's sort of Fire and Ice.
Well, Thing of Icy Fire or something like that.
No, it's the situation of sort of Fire and Ice.
Yeah.
That's what one card is named.
Yeah.
Thing of Fire and Ice. So it's Thingy Ice, but Thing of the Fire and Ice.
Yeah. That's actually pretty cool.
Yeah. I think they'll maybe get a little bit too costly, even though now you have an engine for your Bugmaze, for your thing.
Yeah.
But someone from Leaving Legacy, I forgot which one was named it, built up Punishing Bug in the Ice. Well, Punishing Thing in the Ice. Well,
Punishing Bug or something like that.
What is it called? Rug Thing in the Ice?
Yeah.
So Rug in the Ice?
Red, blue, green. Yeah.
Yeah. So no black, which is, you want to keep in the deck because then you have Abrupt Decays and Death Rites.
Yeah.
But that's the reason why we're not just switching you straight over to that one. He played it, and what he kept on finding is people are so worried about Thing the Ice that they'll let a young Pyromancer just slide right by.
That's awesome. You wouldn't.
Oh, no, I mean, that deck just hits on all cylinders, that's the thing. Like,
yeah.
The deck can hit you from two different areas at once.
Yeah.
A lot like a Deathblade deck.
Yeah. I remember a card called Bio Blight or something like that. Was that
Bio
it?
Bio Blight?
Yeah, was it the one all creatures get minus 2 minus 3?
Oh, two? Yeah, for 2 mana.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not even played in Legacy.
Yeah, I don't know why. It would kill everything.
It's a fair point.
What?
Why Bio Blight is not played in Legacy? Let me think about this. Does it say target creature?
No, it says all creatures, I think.
I think it says target creature and all creatures with that same name.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's why it's not played.
Yeah.
Because there's a card called Thing in the Ice. You know what that thing is, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Not that Thing in the Ice.
Awoken Horror?
No, I forgot the name of it. True Name Nemesis.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know what that is, right?
Yeah. Target player. It's protection from target player.
Yeah. Second time someone's done that, I'm going to make a left turn, and they pull out in the lane next to me, in front of traffic.
What is that noise? Oh, it's
that's my brake.
Oh, great.
I do need one new rear brake. Yes.
But I can tell.
My car stops with the fronts.
Yeah.
I'm not too afraid. The downside is the podcast will hear it. But same time, I'm not too worried. So, I mean, that's also another thing you can put in the deck, too, is Young Pyro. You know, that one, you know?
Yeah, it's one of the cast. Is it the same thing as Gutter Snipe, pretty much?
No. Whenever you, it's a 2-mana 2/1.
Oh, whenever you cast an instant sorcery, you put a 1/1 or 3/1.
You put a 1/1 elemental out.
Yeah. Okay.
You know that card.
Yeah, I know it. I just had to get a kind of brain jolt.
The way that one works is it not only uses Thing in the Ice, it also uses the engine from Life from Loam and Punchy Fire to also pump out Young Arrows.
Yeah.
It also then give you a reason to play Cabal Therapy. Because why Cabal Therapy actually gets kind of good when you play Young Pyros is you Cabal Therapy, get a token, sack the token, cast Cabal Therapy free because you get a token back.
Wow.
The downside with Cabal Therapy is you really need no decks. Because you need to know what the hell card to name.
Yeah. I think I have a Cabal Therapy.
I mean, a lot of EMA came out, so a lot of people do.
Yeah.
But it is a downside, is you do need to know a lot of decks. And ultimately, being able to tell what your opponent's on by about their first land drop. Or at least what they could be on.
Yeah.
Because me, by about turn 3, I can figure out what my opponent's on. By at least turn 3. If not turn 1. I've done it to people a lot in turn 1.
Yeah.
But let me ask you this. Alright. So, you played against Chris.
Yeah.
So, it's a little quick hint. You played against Chris. You should be able to know what this deck is. Turn 1 plays Wooded Foothills, which is the red-green fetch.
Yeah.
Or pass of the turn.
Elves? No. Not elves. But I can't remember what he played. Chris, it was elves, wasn't it?
He wasn't playing elves.
Really?
Yep, Chris does not play elves.
No, wait, no, that was Jake. I'm thinking of Jake who does enchantments.
Jake does Enchantress. That's the name of the deck.
Yeah. Can't remember which question.
Alright, so this will answer it right quick. I play my turn 1, which I'm playing Painter, so I just play out Aaron Mesa and send it back, because I didn't have any turn 1 play. They crack it, go get a mountain.
Now you know what deck they're on? Burn,
because then they win both of me.
Yeah.
No, the funny part of that story, too, is not only did I figure out what she was playing that turn 1.
I knew you knew her whole deck.
Oh, I mean, Burn is a very simple deck to figure out.
Yeah.
Just gotta worry about damage in threes.
3, 6, 9, 12, 15. Yeah.
Yeah. But, the downside to it was her next turn was, I forgot the name. Goblin. Goblin Recruiter, I think it is.
Oh.
Where it's when it attacks, reveal the top card of your opponent's library. If it's a land card, they may put it in the battlefield. If not, they add it to their hand. Oh, it's Goblin Guide. Sorry.
Goblin Guide, yeah.
It's a one mana goblin with haste.
Yeah.
With, I think it's a 2-2.
Yeah.
Or 0-2-1. Either way, it's got 2 powers. That's why you have to be able to reveal a land. But when she swung with it, I flip over Painter. And she didn't know what deck I was on yet.
Oh my gosh.
I'm like, no, now you know. And she's like, wow, this game is going to be a race.
Wow.
Because like the moment she did Wooded Foothills and passed the turn, I'm like, well, looks like I'm racing you. I flip over to Painter. She goes, yeah, it's a race. Because that's Painter versus Burn is just a race. Whoever can kill the other one first.
Yeah.
Because I really can't. In game one, I can't stop Burn.
No.
In game two, the best I can do is bring a turn sphere.
Yeah. Which still shuts it down pretty quickly.
Well, I mean, it just slows down the deck. You can just pay 3 mana and do 3 mana.
Three
mana, 3 damage.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. We're at the store. We're going to probably put After Hours with the podcast. This is Max. That's Nick.
So long.
Until about 2 minutes for you guys. Well, not even 2 minutes. 30 seconds, actually. right there in the beginning.
Yeah.
What was that? 2 hours ago? Well, more than 3 hours ago, actually.
It was like four. We got there at like three, maybe?
We got there at, yeah,
3:30, 3.
Yeah.
And then we started playing pretty much immediately. Well, not immediately. We got like four, maybe.
And well, then, we see how we finally started. We did some trades and got in there at around four. I don't know. Actually, finally beat you with Painter.
Yeah. Well, I kind of got locked out, and then also you...
Well, yeah, I learned... I mean, again, against any bug deck, Blood Moon just kind of wins.
Yeah, but I've gotten around it before.
Well, yeah, it's not... I mean, your deck's kind of built to be around it because of the fact of Mox Diamonds and all the basic lands you have.
Three.
Yeah. So, unless an opponent plays a turn one... Blood Moon, which is actually not uncommon, and you don't have a Mox Diamond, you're kind of screwed. But no, you realize the strength of Tremorgoyf.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that card is strong as shit.
Yeah,
I'm just glad I switched to double Incinerary Bridge and Painter.
You had three Goblin Painters out.
Well, then, also, too, what I found out as a good idea that I thought of doing was
what?
Playing Smuggler's Copter and Painter.
Oh, yeah. The one that you just beat my face
in? Yeah,
with.
The one I just beat your face in because it's a flyer.
And then you got me like down to two life, and you finally got Painter and
Grindstone. Yeah, when I finally combo off, you were down to two life.
Yeah, like, honestly, you could have just swung and then, in response, like, been like, oh, Grindstone,
yeah.
In response.
Well, you had the kill that time. You actually had a finally an answer to Smuggler's Copter.
Yeah.
But, I mean, frick, I played the two lands, had double Shimmian, and I just cast the Shimmian to crew the Copter.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, I was sitting there staring at it because I could have totally just Enlightened Tutor for Painter. And I could have totally just Enlightened Tutor for Painter and then just combo off and not have to worry about trying to do Smuggler's Copter crap.
Yeah.
But I finally played a Smuggler's Copter for once, and I've been wanting to test it out. And I just ended up pitching the Simian Spirit with the two lands I had to crew the Smuggler's Copter.
Yeah.
Which is really strong, and people even know from Standard it's strong.
Yeah.
But in a deck like Painter, where I used to run Faithless Lootings,
yeah,
all my creatures are 1/1s.
Yeah.
Painter, I usually just use as a blocker. Well, now we can crew a Thopter Copter. I forgot the name of it already. Smuggler's Copter. Wow, I forgot the name of it, even though I was just saying it. I did not have a stroke, people.
Yeah, we're in the car. As I'm pretty sure you already know.
Yeah. But
that would not have been fun.
Welder cruises the copter. Magus of the Moon cruises the copter.
Yeah. Wait, for the cruise, does it have to be a 1/1?
It has to have a power 1 or greater.
Oh.
So, I mean, yes, you can have multiple creatures crew a thing. You can have 20 1/1s crew a 1/1 crew creature, but I don't think many people want to do that.
Nobody wants to do that.
Hopefully. Unless they want to untap triggers on their guys. Which, in the new age modern, I think we can call it, they may start a new thing from M15 forward as a new set.
Huh.
They're making like a new format of M15 forward.
Wow.
So it's new modern. I think it's called like New Frontier or something.
Huh.
So now standard cards don't lose their value as quick. But of course this new format needs to catch on.
Yeah.
I haven't even looked into trying to build for that thing. It just looks like more expensive to play.
Then what? Like, Legacy is extremely expensive.
Well, yeah, it's just, but I'm already building a four grand deck of Cultez.
Mm-hmm. Excuse me.
And I still don't even have Seas or Traders.
What are those?
Underground Sea or City of Traders?
Oh, yeah. Those ones are like, those are like the $400 lands, aren't they?
City of Traders are 100.
Okay.
Underground Seas are 400, which thankfully I only run two of in my deck.
And yeah, I'm pretty sure you run City of Traders. Is that, that's the $100 one, right?
Yeah.
You run four?
I run two.
Oh.
I lowered it down just because I want
so
a different. Well, they're expensive. That and City is just explosive, and I play Mox Diamonds.
Ah.
So I don't need to be as explosive.
Yeah.
But no, we didn't test out your punishing. I mean, thing of fire and ice.
Yeah.
We didn't test that out. We just kind of played bug in the ice.
Yeah. I think, did I lose every game?
No,
no, I won.
You won
two.
You won a couple where I couldn't get you on lockdown.
Yeah.
Which is kind of how Painter loses when they can't lock anyone out.
Yeah.
But no, and also too, I want to point out when you sideboarded.
Mm-hmm.
I already told you should have put in your dismembers.
Yeah.
Also too, you're crunching that bottle, and the
Sorry.
Mic is literally right next to you.
Sorry.
But you should go to your Mr. I mean, bringing the Mr. X was strong. I felt that was kind of a good idea because it definitely once you played the Mr. X against me, I lost.
Yeah.
Because I can't handle I don't have any way to actually destroy a Phyrexian Revoker.
Huh.
Without Seal of Cleansing, which I just added in.
Because
I used to run Wear Tear, which was the one red fuse white black one white.
Oh yeah.
Which was the red side was destroy target effect and the
white was destroy
white target enchantment. Yeah.
Yeah.
Used to run Wear Tears, but that was apparently target and are untutorable by Enlightened Tutor.
Huh.
So I mean yes, Seal and Cleansing is able to be named by Pithineal. But at the same time, being able to search it up, where before I had to find a Wear Tear, I think I'm going to go with that.
Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah. So, I ended up switching that out. Unfortunately, my opponents will see it coming, so if they actually had a 50 needle ready to name something, they'll just name Seal Cleansing, because I'm going to point their Seal Cleansing at 50 needle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Frick, I finally land the recipes against you, and then you instantly have an abrupt guy. Like, the worst part was that since you weren't paying attention so much, I just figured you thought, I literally was just sitting there going, he's slow rolling me, isn't he? Because, like, you just happened to have the answer, but you didn't act like it.
Well, no,
like,
I know.
How do I do...
No, there was something else I thought I wanted to do, but then I'm like, no, this is the better idea.
Well, yeah, that's the thing, like...
When
you get it down to it, Bug in the Ice can usually do two to three things a turn.
Yeah.
If you start getting there.
Yeah.
Which you started handling being able to do two things a turn very well. When I was playing that deck, I really couldn't, but that was before I started playing Tez, where I can do basically three things a turn.
Yeah.
While doing three different combos at once. Well, it's three different win cons at once.
Oh, yeah. Tez, Stop Their Foundry.
Tez, Stop Their Foundry, and Jace.
Jace, yeah.
Or 1,000 Cuts by Baleful Strix.
What does 1,000 Cuts do?
No, it's it's called Death by 1,000 Cuts.
Oh.
Because I have an Astarion Bridge out.
Oh.
So I draw a card, swing with Strix, play my card, pass the turn, have no cards in hand. Death by 1,000 Cuts.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, that's also too. Like, that's one of the reasons why Tez runs the Standing Bridge. Is one, it can lock out the bigger creatures, and number two, it plays 1/1s.
Just poke, poke, poke.
Thanks for your poker.
It's going poke, poke.
Oh yeah, it's Death by 1,000 Cuts. That's kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
But, what else? Why am I doing 63? What was your highlights out of those games that you figured out?
The
Bugging Ice versus Painter.
I'd have to say when I just redirected your what was it? The card, one of your destroy cards to another one of your you were gonna destroy. What were you?
I'm gonna destroy Phyrexian Revoker.
No, you were. It was a blue target. Oh yeah, you were gonna destroy.
Will you stop cursing the pit?
Sorry, you were gonna destroy.
You can have a move with it that's in your way.
Yeah, it is. There's like everything down here though.
I know.
But it was, you were gonna destroy Reflection Revoker. I misdirected it to, was it Painter? And then I was going to Force Will.
You were going to abrupt decay Painter. So my in response is to going, well, I'm about to lose blue. Let me get rid of Phyrexian Revoker now.
And then
using Red Blast.
And then I misdirected your Red Blast at your
own Phyrexian Revoker, naming I think at the time was Mox Diamond.
Mox Diamond, yeah.
Yeah.
Which was just, I think that was a pretty good
play. Like, I knew you had the Misdirect in hand, but I didn't want to play like I knew he was in your hand. Like, I could have just not casted Red Blast at the time.
Yeah.
Because I knew you were going to Misdirect to hit my Phyrexian Revoker. I knew you were going to do that.
I know.
I just didn't want to play like it because you were asking how the hell do I Misdirect things correctly.
Yeah, I know.
Which is why I wish when I countered your Brainstorm, I was hoping for you to Misdirect the spell so then you can Brainstorm. I'm like, hey, his Misdirect's gone.
But I also had another Brainstorm in hand.
Well, yeah.
So I'm just like, okay, screw it.
Well, like, when you Brainstorm, I thought you didn't have any other blue card. Like, there was, like, a 20% chance you probably had a blue card.
Yeah.
But if you Brainstormed, then you definitely had a blue card at that point.
Yeah.
Unless you Brainstormed and then went, fuck. And then I know, okay, he doesn't have a blue card right now. Let me just combo off real quick.
Real quick. Just let me kill him real quick. And then I'll come back.
Like, it's just going off of being able to name what the hell your opponent's playing.
Oh, yeah. And also, I don't have a very good poker face.
Because, I mean, here's another one. This one was a little funny one that happened.
Mm-hmm.
Ancient Tomb. Plays Ancient Tombs, taps Ancient Tomb, adds 2 mana, loses 2 life.
Yeah.
Plays Sensei's top, and then spins the top. What deck are they playing?
Painter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's only one deck that does that. Because guess what? There's only one deck that runs tops and Ancient Tombs. There's other decks that run Ancient Tombs. There's not many decks that run top and Tomb.
Yeah.
Because the only other decks that run Tomb are Show and Tell.
Yeah.
And Eldrazi. And Mud. Mud also does play.
I forgot what Mud was.
Mud is a completely only artifact deck.
Ah.
Let me drink some soda here.
So, like, only artifacts. Does that mean that it's, like, aiming just to Metalcraft?
No.
Or is it just Affinity?
It is aiming to play Metalworker to ramp their spells.
What's
so they ramp into Karn, Spine of Ishaa, Ugin, the Spirit Dragon.
Oh, yeah.
Metalworker is a 3 mana, I think 1/3, if I'm not mistaken, artifact creature. Tap, reveal any number of colorless artifacts from your hand. Add 2 mana for each revealed card.
Oh, wow. 2 mana of any colorless mana? Or
2 colorless mana.
Okay.
So you can tap, reveal 6 Chromoxes.
Well, you wouldn't have 6 at the same time.
You can reveal 1 Mox, 1 artifact land, and 1... I think it's actually every colorless card you can choose, too. So I think you can also show card into it, too.
Ah.
Or reveal a Wurmcrawl Engine. There's your 6 mana to cast Wurmcrawl Engine. And you still have 6 mana on the field.
Wow.
I built a deck called Ashtray that used that ability.
Wow.
But it was Welders and Scuttling Doom Engine. And it was the win con was Wurmcrawl Engine and can only do minions. Just pure beatdown.
Yeah.
The deck also was kind of strong, too, being the fact that I can weld away Scully Doom Engine to bring back in Wormhole Engine.
And then just
Scully Doom Engine damage. Triggered, deal 6 damage. So yeah. I didn't actually need to attack to kill my opponent.
Just tap, tap,
let
tap,
alone
tap.
2, Wormhole Engine makes 3-3 Death Touch artifact and a 3-3 Lifelink artifact.
Wow.
So I sacrificed the Lifelink artifact to bring back Wormhole Engine with well. So now I have a 6-6 Lifelink Death Touch. Oh, let me swap it back in Scully Doom Engine.
And swap it back out.
Swap it back out, and you just infinitely get tokens.
That's awesome.
As slow as your turns go.
That's awesome.
So yeah, it was a very fun deck. I love playing it. It did have to use the graveyard, so it did kind of make it a little bit. It didn't have to use the graveyard, but it used the graveyard.
Yeah.
Kind of ways.
Yeah. And then I forgot Pajukabog.
Well, like, true. I mean, again, Leyline of the Void, rest in peace, or both.
Yeah.
If you're not playing that in your sideboard, you die to Dredge.
Yeah.
And this, people, is why Dredge made top 8 not too long ago.
So most decks at least have some way to get rid of the graveyard.
If you don't have it in your sideboard, you are literally just choosing to lose the game.
Because, what if you're playing blue-green deck?
Blue-green, you play Graph Figure's Cage.
Oh, yeah.
If you're not playing black or white, you're playing Graph Figure's Cage. You play Graph Figure's Cage if you can afford it in your sideboard. Sometimes it's better to use Rest in Peace or Leyline of the Void due to the fact you can bring in the Helm combo.
Ah.
At least that's kind of how I look at it. But no, another thing that Mud does is it plays Chalice of the Void, which
mm-hmm.
you know and how
yeah.
strong that is to be able to go 2-mana Soul Land to Chalice of the Void on 1, turn 1.
Yeah.
I do that with Tez all the time right here.
Yeah.
So a lot of people just kind of scoop to that, just in that instance alone. It also uses Lodestone Golems, I believe is what their name is. Which is like a 4/4/4/4, I think. I haven't really looked at the card in like however. But it makes all non-artifact spells cost 1 more.
Huh.
I mean, I don't care because I'm playing Painter and most of my spells are artifacts. But it can hurt a lot of people, like your deck.
Yeah.
You don't play any artifacts except
no.
for Mox Diamonds.
Yeah.
But
that would also help against Leyline of the Void. Not Leyline, what's it called? Is the Chalice, is that converted mana cost, or?
Spells with CMC equal to...
Okay, so if a card makes it cost more, it would still be CMC more.
Yeah.
Okay.
CMC of 1.
Okay.
Actually, no, I think it becomes weird. That is a judge question. I'm not actually going to answer that one.
Okay.
Some people know the answer already. I won't answer it. Because I've heard 2 different answers on why it makes sense to do it the other way.
Ah.
So I've answered it 1 way and people have counteracted that statement, which then has got me now confused.
I am thus confused.
But another thing that the deck does is play Staff of Domination. I think it's like 3 mana. But it's got 5 abilities. 1 mana, do untap a permanent, I think. Well, actually, untap 2 permanents. You might actually just want to look this one up on my phone.
Okay. All right, now?
Yeah. You know my password?
Yeah.
Remember where the mic is so you don't end up scratching it. I don't think our listeners want to listen to it.
Probably not.
Hit home button, the center button on the bottom of the screen. There you go. Deck builder. And then look up Staff of Domination. You can just look at search Staff of, there's only 1 staff.
Of the Mind Magus, of that stuff, yeah. There's more stuff.
I mean, if you know how to spell Domination, feel free.
I do.
Because I don't.
Staff of the Sun, Main, Mind, Wild Magus. Staff of Zygon, Staff of Nin, Staff of Domination. There we go.
All right, what is it called?
It's a 3 artifact. 1, untap Staff of Domination. 2, you gain 1 life. Oh, 2,
untap,
you gain 1 life. 3, tap, untap target creature. 4, tap target creature. And 5, tap, draw a card.
So now, with Metalworker in that card, why is that broken?
Metalworker.
I went over that. Remember that one?
I kind of forgot already.
That is, tap it, reveal any number of artifacts from your hand.
Okay.
Gain 2 CMC for each artifact you reveal.
Oh, so that would be good. Oh, it's good because you untap target creature.
What does that effectively do?
Wait, what was the name of the card? Metalworker?
Yeah, Metalworker. Metalworker is what? 3, oh yeah, 3 mana. Oh, 3 mana, 1/2.
Yeah.
Not a 1/3. But tap, reveal any number of artifacts?
Add 2, artifact cards in your hand. Reveal 2, add 2 colorless mana for
each artifact card revealed that way.
Yeah.
So if you have 3 artifacts, what are you able to do?
Draw a card. Or untap target creature.
Untap Metalworker?
Yeah.
Tap Metalworker?
Oh, wow.
Tap Metalworker, add 6 mana. Pay 1, untap Staff of Domination. -6, -4 to untap Metalworker.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh.
You have
gosh.
Infinite colorless mana in a deck that only uses colorless mana.
This is sickening.
With infinite mana, you're able to untap Staff of Domination any number of times, allowing you to draw your full deck, allowing you to play your full deck.
Oh yeah, definitely.
So.
Yeah.
I actually did not know about that combo when I was playing against that Mud game I told you about. He played a Staff of Domination. I just straight up named. I used Pithy Needle. No, I think I was on Frexy Rogue at the time. Either way, I used the card that says name target thing, it can't be activated. It was either Pithy Needle or Reflection Revoker. And I named Staff of Domination just because it had 5 abilities. I didn't know he could go infinite.
And you won?
No, that's the game that he locked me out.
Oh.
That we both were on a standstill up until about turn...
20?
Turn maybe 50? I mean, there was... I am not kidding you. I counted the number of cards left in my deck. There were 7 cards left in my deck.
Wow.
He could have just decked me.
Yeah. Yeah. What was he at?
I didn't remember. Painter doesn't win with a life bubble.
What?
Painter doesn't win with a life bubble.
Ah.
Remember that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, not life total, but how many cards were left in his library?
I don't remember. I think it was like 24 or something.
Wow.
I think I might have started out the game grinding money myself because I had a welder. What do you think you believe it?
Ah.
But yeah, when I tell you it was, seriously, draw a card. It's a artifact creature. How much does it cost to cast? 4. Alright. Pay 4 mana, be counterforceful.
Wait, if...
Be counterforceful.
If you were... Could you... No, you can't misdirect a grindstone, can you? Ability. It's not ability.
No, yeah.
It's a spell.
That's an ability, not a spell.
That would be amazing if you could. Just broken.
I mean, you can mindslaver people.
Well, yeah, but...
But, unfortunately, there's no mindslaver effect that actually is cost-worthy.
No.
What else is new?
Not much. Played a lot of Commander tonight.
Yeah. Everyone, a normal game of Commander where a winner was on the battlefield for 10 freaking turns.
Yeah, there was an issue with trying to get rid of that.
Yeah, it's because the guy that could literally was just tapping down the ramp.
Yeah.
Wasted all of his turns just ramping.
Hey, but
he won the game, but...
He could have lost badly because of me.
Well, yeah, you had the easy board state right there. If he didn't have the correct commander deck and didn't have any board wipe, you would have just won.
Yeah.
Because one of the other downsides about going down to extreme all the time is very few people down there actually actually play board wipes.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, again, even in Nekusar, I only play Flailing Tendrils, Toxic Deluge, and Black Sun Zenas in my Nekusar. Mm-hmm. And the only other one I'm ever... Oh, and then Psychonic Rift.
Yeah.
The only other one I'm going to ever actually add is Damnation. That's if I can find one. Which they should get on chances to reprint that.
Mm-hmm.
Downside is Morrow can't find a spot at which they can reprint it.
What?
I don't know actually where our turn is. There it is. I knew it was coming. But that was kind of the one down thing is when you reprint cards, it has to fit in the set. And given the fact that Damnation is a double black destroy all creatures, they can't be regenerated.
Yeah.
Well, there's no reason to put it in a set that doesn't have regenerated creatures. And they're not going to make a 4-mana board wipe again for the next time mean. That's going to be in standard.
No.
They just won't do that. They had the conditional language, but that was about it.
Yeah.
So, like, Supreme Verdict, back when that was standard, literally made the 4-mana.
Yeah, I know.
Like, when you were playing in the standard back then, you literally counted to see if you can win by turn 4, because everyone's going to Supreme Verdict on turn 4.
Yeah.
That was back when Bob was still playing standard, actually. Bob actually did play standard at a point.
Wow. Is that, like, part of the reason he left?
What do you mean?
Like, stop playing is because things just got too quick?
No. I mean, Theros came out and Ravnica wasn't standard anymore.
Ah.
Once Ravnica rotated out, a lot of people just dropped out.
Why?
Because Ravnica was such a strong format.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it was such a strong standard format, being the fact that they had all the shocklands.
Oh, yeah.
So, you were able to play three-color decks without even trying.
Yeah.
And, of course, when they released fetches, that just became even more of a problem.
And then the Zenlands.
Well, Zenlands are just junk. I mean, they're only a semi-functional reprint that gets there, but it really doesn't. Like, if you're building your deck the way you really should be, it doesn't get there.
Huh.
Speaking of Zenlands, I think we might actually get enemies in Aether Revolt, actually, in the next set that's coming out.
Why?
Because I just figured that out. I just kind of, like, thought about that. They're reprinting enemy lands.
Enemy
lands?
They
reprinted enemy fast lands.
What's that? What are enemies?
Alliances are blue-black.
Yeah.
Green-blue, but not green-blue. Green-blue's enemy.
Red-green?
Red-green is alliance. It's on the color wheel. If you look at the back of a magic card.
Oh, yeah.
All the cards next to each other are aligned.
Oh, and things that cross me?
Enemies are against. So black-white is enemy color.
Oh.
Because remember, white's on the way, one side, and the other one.
Yeah.
I have a magic card right down here.
I'm not reading. No, don't you dare.
See?
Oh. Well, what would this one be to? This right here, or these two?
What do you mean?
Like, so white... So this
green and black are enemies. White and black are enemies. Red and blue are enemies.
Red and white.
Red and white are enemies.
And then white and red. Well, we already went over that. Blue and green, and red. Enemies. Oh! I never realized that.
That's what all of Ravnica was.
Oh.
Was learning those ally colors.
Huh. Like Gruul Turf and stuff like that.
Yeah. Well, they all had their factions. Gruul, Dimir, Azorius.
Simic.
Simic.
Is that... Your phone just fell?
Really?
Yeah, it's landed on me.
I'll shove it back up there. I noticed it was starting to fall, but... Okay, is it still recording?
Probably.
We'll check.
I didn't press anything.
It should stay recording. Yeah, it is.
Okay. There we go.
But... Girls back, we can learn all those.
Ah.
That was also back where I actually officially got into Magic. Like, I started playing back in Innistrad.
Yeah.
But I really only actively started playing Standard in Ravnica Block.
Ah.
Because back in Innistrad, it was still sit at the buddy's kitchen table, draft out some games, play Magic the way it's really supposed to be played, where you're not being competitive, you're just playing casually.
Yeah. I think I started playing right around that time, too.
A lot of people I know have started playing around Innistrad.
I think, actually, the first time I ever played, I think it was right after the first part of Ravnica. Not Ravnica. Yeah. Return to Ravnica came out. Yeah. Are you talking about the first Ravnica or real Return to Ravnica? That you
Return to Ravnica.
Yeah.
Sorry, there is actually a difference for the people that are older. They understand.
Yeah.
Of course, when I mentioned Innistrad, they figured out, oh, it's Return to Ravnica.
Well, yeah.
But that's back when I found out I was playing a game, I had Exquisite Blood on the field because I just love playing lifelink creatures. So whenever I gain life, my opponents lose life.
Yeah.
No, whenever my opponents lose life, I just gain life. So I just love life gain, and I still do. And a lot of new players do like life gain until they realize on how you can win without dealing damage to opponent's life total. So.
Yeah, that's kind of how I was at first. Then I'm like, oh, beat face.
Yeah, I mean, at the moment, for the people that still love life gain, yes, I will always continue to love life gain. It's sometimes can make or break a game you win. But there's a lot of easy ways when all you're doing is gain life gain. When all you do is life gain, there's no way you can win. Your opponent just ends up declaring a board state and
beating you out with one.
They just beat you out going, screw your life gain, I have board state.
Yep.
So, I mean, there was a time when me and my brother, back in Theros Standard, I had a life gain deck, and he was playing Mono Black Devotion with Adherent Overlord and Whip of Aramos.
Oh.
There was a game at which we both swung at each other for 6 turns in a row, swinging back and forth for more than 50 damage, and neither one of us died.
50 damage each turn.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Back and forth.
That is awesome. Just swing, 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 swing.
Swing, I'll deal 45 damage.
Gain 45 life.
Gain 45 life. Pass the turn. Swing. Deal 53 damage. I gain 50 life. Swing.
Yeah, that sounds awesome.
Because whoever Rose gave all his creatures lifelink.
Yeah.
And I think that's back when, the name of the angel. Forgot the name of,
Jubilant, or...
The one that can give either Vigilance, Lifelink, or First Strike.
Oh, I have that!
Yeah.
It's,
I forgot the name of it, too. It was such a good card.
Yeah. The one that, like, at the beginning of combat, you choose Vigilance, Lifelink.
Yeah, or First Strike.
Angel of... I have it in my binder.
What was it? Angel of Despair?
No, it wasn't Despair.
No, the Despair is the black white one.
Yeah, it was, I can look it up. I can look at myself.
And we can also look it up on my phone.
Yeah.
It doesn't really matter. But, yeah, that was fun. Hell, that freaking angel was back when, before the rotation.
Yeah.
When you were able to play Vampire Nighthawk and that angel.
Oh, Vampire and Nighthawks.
Oh my god.
Such a good card.
It is such a good card. Here's what I did to Cody. I don't know if you remember him.
Maybe.
He's another bigger guy.
Oh.
This was back when we did Kitchen Table Magic, which was everyone got a 6-card deck, and no matter how many people playing, you're still doing multiplayer.
Okay.
He goes, combo Wormbreaker, Wormbreaker, Wormbreaker. It had like, I think, 3 worms, 8 worms with trample.
Wow.
I had 3 Vampire Nighthawks.
Oh.
And an angel.
Oh my gosh, lifelink, lifelink,
lifelink. When I told him before he went and made those worms, I can give my vampires first strike.
That first strike, oh my gosh.
He's like, huh? I can give my vampires first strike. He goes, meh. Makes the worms, swings in. I go, before you declare attackers, angel trigger. I'll name first strike. He goes,
dead.
You could do that my turn? I'm like, yeah.
Each combat.
Swing at you. I'm like, okay. Block with my vampires.
Dead, dead,
yes,
dead.
They die because of first strike damage. Congrats.
First strike and death touch. Perfect.
Oh, it was so strong. That's why I like when people ever, whenever anyone names Vampire Nighthawk, I just remember that time.
Oh, yeah.
Because everyone knows that Vampire Nighthawk is just strong. Like, they got a reprint. He got a white reprint in Kaladesh.
He got a white one.
Yeah, it was Vampire Dayhawk.
Oh.
That's what they call it, Vampire Dayhawk.
That's awesome.
Because it's just Nighthawk but white.
That's awesome. Is it doesn't have the same stuff?
I don't exactly know. I think it has lifelink instead of death touch with a huge fire.
That is awesome.
It's one and double white, I think.
Didn't it have flying, death touch, and lifelink?
No, it just had death touch and lifelink.
Oh, okay.
But, yeah, that's just like, people remember Vampire Nighthawk, but do they also remember that Angel, like, was able to give it first strike all the time?
Oh my gosh, there's a cop
and
coming.
Vigilance? He's on the other side, I wrote this one up.
Oh.
It's a big mean world though. But, yeah. The people that think Vampire Nighthawk is strong, they have to remember that Angel of whatever was in... What was in standard at the time?
Yeah, I gotta remember what it was called though.
I mean, look it up on my phone. So
I know.
It is, yeah. Let's go Angel of and then type Angel of and then First Strike.
And then look it up and
yeah, just say Angel of First Strike. It's like a 6-minute spell, I think. Tribulation's an EDH card.
Yeah.
Your finger's over the mic.
No, it's not. My thumb's on the corner.
Okay.
What?
Either way.
Type creature.
No, you just search angel of.
Oh, really?
You don't need to type an angel.
Oh.
It's going to show you all the angels, but I just type an angel of. But I say angel of first strike because then you can actually find her easier. Because she says first strike in your keywords. She's 6 mana, so just go straight to 6 mana.
No, it wasn't. Angelic Skirmisher.
Oh, that's what it was.
That one.
Yeah.
I have that. Oh, I remember this.
Angelic Skirmisher, 4/4. At the beginning of combat, choose First Strike, Vigilance, or a Lifelink. Creatures you control gain that until end of turn. Best part was is you're able to have 2 of them on the field, and you can go Vigilance, Lifelink.
Yep.
And on your opponent's turn, you go First Strike, Lifelink.
Oh,
especially when you played Vampire Nighthawk.
Oh my gosh. Good time.
That was also the same deck. I also ran the Scope of Milk, Guildmage, and Exquisite Blood.
Oh my gosh.
Because I just put in Exquisite Blood because I'm like, oh, well, then I always have Lifelink. And then I read, while I was playing a game, and I read the Scope of Guildmage. I'm like, I can pay 3 mana, and every time
win.
I gain life, my opponent loses life.
And you win.
I'm like, I'm gonna activate every time I gain life, my opponent loses life. I swing for 2, my creature has lifelink. Kevin was sitting there going, huh. I'm like, doesn't this infinite out? He's like, sounds like a
does.
Yeah, yeah, it does. Because, like, the first time we ever encountered an infinite combo, that was in standard.
Awesome.
Wasn't there something with, like, wasn't there something that wasn't, like, with Grindstone back then?
I mean, Grindstone is an old-ass card.
No, didn't they? Oh, Millstone or something like that.
I mean, what the Mill card was through there was Nephilia Drownyard.
No.
That was what the Mill card was back
no,
then.
I meant, like, in Gatecrash or something, there was, like, a Millstone or Mind Grind or Mind Stone or something like that. It wasn't Mind Grind. That's
yeah,
different then. It was an artifact with like a, it looked like a head with like a grindstone going around it.
It might have been Millstone.
Yeah, Millstone. Was there something that with Viscope and Gilgamesh or something, the black white one did the exact same thing, but just milled the person out infinitely?
I don't think
so. I remember there being something like that.
No, there's no way to do that.
Well, there was a mill.
There's only one infinite combo in standard, and that was Exquisite Blood plus Viscope and Gilgamesh.
But I remember
Viscope and Gilgamesh is a one black, one white, or pay one and one black and one white, target creature gains lifelink, or pay one black and one white, whenever you gain life, the start of your opponent loses their life.
Huh. Well.
That was like the first time I really ever encountered a combo deck.
Low washer fluid.
Yeah. Haven't filled up in a while. I haven't had money to get washer fluid again.
Ah.
There's still some in there. I'm not too worried about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I missed that standard format where Rocket was so good.
Oh, yeah.
Then it was also kind of where I proved that I could brew a deck.
Huh.
Like, I was versing people who had, like, net decks or whatever. I was playing a deck at which I basically bought myself off of $20 a week and built myself off of $20 a week.
Huh.
Yeah, it was just a random homebrew that I ended up entering into a competition and ended up placing third.
Huh.
Wasn't even like, I was just playing the deck and people were like, oh, you figured that all out by yourself? I'm like, yeah, that's just how it works. They're like, for a homebrew, this is really strong. I'm like, yeah, it's gonna be a lot stronger if I'm not dumb. Because, like, the time I get the match I would have got into first place with.
Yeah.
Was. I was placing against someone, I think I was playing against Dave, and yeah, it was Dave. Do you remember the Vault of the Archangel?
Vault of the Archangel?
The land?
No. Vault, oh yeah.
Yeah, Vault of the Archangel?
Yeah.
You remember what that did?
Just put it, didn't it make like an angel itself?
No.
What did it do?
You paid two, one black, one white.
Yeah.
Creatures you control gain lifelink and death option on turn.
Yeah.
Had I known that Dave could activate that thing, and had I ever read the card, because I didn't even know that card existed, else I would have totally been playing it. Because one, it's in the colors of my deck, and number two,
it's good.
It's lifelink.
Yeah.
I was running Orzhov Ghost Eddy.
Huh.
Ghost Council of Orzhov.
Oh,
okay. The one double white, double black.
Yeah.
5/5, flicker it out.
Mm-hmm.
Being the fact that there was really no good sorcery, there was only sorcery speed removal in Dave's deck, I was able to bring him in multiple times. But I swung into like a 2/2 wolf, not knowing you can activate the Archangel, the Vault of the Archangel.
Ah.
So I misplayed that because I didn't read his cards.
Ah.
I mean, back then I think it was like only like 15?
Wow.
So that's like 6 years ago?
Wow.
You were 15 or 16. I didn't have a car to drive yet. That's all.
Ah.
That's all I remember. But that's also when I learned the curve system and all the crap. Like,
who taught you all of it?
Bob and Dave. Bob and Dave taught me everything about. That I know, actually.
Really? Huh.
Yeah.
pretty cool.
There's a lot of math and accident, which I just kind of figured out on my own.
Ah.
At a certain point, you're able to just use math to build a good deck. So it's not that hard. Then when you have crazy ideas, a lot of times, you just have crazy ideas.
Oh yeah, crazy ideas. Sometimes.
Metallurgic summonings in Legacy!
My gosh.
Honestly, everyone be looking for that brew tech, I will have it put up soon.
Yeah.
I mean, every single brew tech I've actually done actually didn't turn out that horrible. The deck actually didn't turn out horrible. I did Bug on the Ice, which you're playing right now.
Yeah.
You, of course, love that deck is good, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
When you actually get all the lines that you want to take and how resilient that deck can actually be to both the Blood Moon and the Chalice,
yeah.
Even though the deck does play one mana spells, let alone it plays Abrupt Decays to Stop, Artifact decks, and then it plays... all the freaking 2-mana spells, so then Chalice doesn't actually get a kill. So that was the first one I did. That was back when, I think... What is the thing that's from?
It's from,
What set is it?
Isn't that,
Is it Eldritch Moon, or is that Shadows?
It wasn't Shadows, it was Shadows, yeah.
Yeah, he's Shadows.
No!
It was Shadows. It was about a month before... Yeah, it was a month before, Eldritch Moon.
Yeah.
A month before Eldritch Moon came out, I brewed that deck up.
Yeah.
Did, like, a bunch of work on it. You can actually go find the podcast I did for it. I did a little bit of a brew deck, so I call it brew decks.
Huh.
I brewed it, and then I did a deck on it.
Oh, okay.
I just kind of talk about the deck, what ideas I've had in the deck, and... ideas versus playing the Punishing Fire route.
Yeah.
And playing, and or playing, Planeswalkers in it, like Jace or Lily.
Okay.
I went in and looked into all that, too.
Huh.
What to pull out for those cards. If you want to learn more discard heavy things, like, it was very user friendly on what could be done to the deck. Instead of just people just trying it out, I tell them, all right, well, this will happen if you did this.
Yeah.
Those brew techs you guys can find on the SoundCloud, just go look up brew tech. Another one I did was Ashtray, which I went over with you.
Yeah.
That was, I mean, again, going back into the deck, it did use the graveyard, but it did have Metalworkers, so if your opponent could bring in Graveyard Hate, you just use Metalworkers all the time instead of Goblin Welders.
Yeah.
So you just Metalworker for 6-mana artifact creature. Then another one I did was called Dark Painter. Dark Painter is a non-prison deck, but purely combo.
Huh.
It used... Being Dark Painter, it added black to the deck. Giving me opening to Entomb, Reanimate, and Dark Ritual.
Oh, well, yeah.
The best part about Ashtray and Dark Painter is both those decks, no matter what the hell my opponent was doing, would either combo off or not combo off. Or I would either win the game or not win the game. The simple of... There was no if, maybes, close calls. No, either the deck went off and I won, or...
You got smashed.
Or I just got smashed, because I missed a land drop. But,
We're almost there.
I know.
But yeah, it's just...
But, so no, you're able to, with Dark Painter?
Yeah.
You're able to more consistently turn one Painter.
You
go turn one Grindstone Painter, because you have Dark Rituals.
Yeah. What happened to that?
What happened to it?
Yeah, you just thought it wasn't, just didn't work out.
It doesn't stop prison. And if you miss one or two land drops or get two bad draws, which the deck has no cantrips.
Yeah.
You just lost.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I fought through Death. I mean, it's a combo deck that could beat Death and Taxes easily.
Yeah.
Which is hard to do.
Death and Taxes, is that the XX?
That's the mono white Thalia plus all these other cards that just tax you infinitely.
Ah.
The deck makes you play so slow, and it's able to hit you on so many different sides.
Ah.
I mean, like, your deck would probably do fine to it, because you won with creatures, because what it plays is Thalia, the old one, the mana one that makes non-creatures cost more.
Oh, yeah.
So, I don't know. We're here. We're done. Well, hope you guys enjoyed this podcast. Sorry Bob wasn't here. I know we talked about more about Magic, though, so I don't know what we're going to do about that.
Okay. Well, I gotta go, guys. I'll talk to you guys later.
Well, it's whatever. I'm just ending the podcast.
Okay.
So, Nick and Max, see y'all. We're not signing off.
Yes, we are.
No, we're not.